Well, I don't know about you. I'm glad I showed up today. This has been good. Oh, it has been a good morning so far. Well, you know, the best may have already have happened. We don't know yet. Ruth chapter 4. Personally, I've really enjoyed this Ruth series. I just really have. And we got this week and next week, we're going to wrap things up. And we got a couple of weeks of special stuff for you. So, Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. After Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by, so he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 of the men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who came back from the land of Moab, has to sell a piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. And if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one between you and me to redeem it. I am after you." And he said, "I'll redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself because it would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself, you may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm a matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another. This was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witness today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birth. You are witness today." And all the people in the court and the elders said, "We are witness. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." Now, if you remember, last week, we left with Ruth offering herself to marriage in Boaz, if you will spread out your cover over me, offering this to him. And he said, "You know, you're an honorable woman. I'll do whatever you want. However, there's a closer relative than I." In Israel, if someone died or they became poor, they had to sell their land or whatever, a close relative, a kinsman redeemer, could purchase them back, purchase the land back, buy them back out of slavery if they had to sell themselves into slavery, whatever. A close redeemer could do this. Boaz was Naomi's close redeemer. And Naomi, when she got out of her depression, thought of this really cool plan to get Boaz to redeem them from their poverty. Now, Boaz has been taking care of them for months, sort of behind the scenes taking care of them. Ruth, after she committed to Naomi way back in the land of Moab a few months ago, said, "We're in this thing together. Where you go, I'm going. Your God's going to be my God. Where you die, I'm going to die. We are in this thing together." I mean, they both have suffered great loss up to that point. They've been outside of the umbrella of the blessing of God in Moab, and they came back to Bethlehem. where God was blessing his people. And Ruth, good to her word, which made her an honorable woman, good to her word, went out every day gleaning the fields and just happened to fall into the field of Boaz. And so for several months now, she has been following Boaz's servants, gleaning. Boaz has been making sure that there's been enough left behind to take care of her, to take care of Naomi. Who knows what else he's been doing kind of behind the scenes. And he is a kinsman redeemer. But he's not the closest kinsman redeemer. And so he said to her last week, he said, I'll take care of this, but tomorrow you're going to be taken care of. Somebody's buying you back. That's where we left it last week. So Boaz, in the morning, comes to the gate where they do all their business, their courts and everything done at the gate of the city, and the kinsman redeemer closer to him comes by and says, Joe! I don't know why they didn't give him simple names like that back in the Old Testament. You know, that's what I would have done. Joe, come on over, sit down. Buddy, have a seat. And so Joe comes over, and they start pulling, you know, Jim, come on over here, sit down. Oh, come on over, Bruce, come on down here, sit down here. And he pulls 10 of the elders over, and so we got a business transaction going on. Boaz is saying, you know Naomi. Naomi came back from Moab, and you know, they're really poor, and now she's got to sell a piece of land. So, why don't you buy the piece of land? You're the closer redeemer. I'd buy it. You're closer than I am. And so you go ahead and buy the piece of land. And Joe, because we don't have his name, Joe said, sure, I'll buy it. No problem. So all this time I'm reading this, I'm thinking about, what is Ruth thinking? Because Ruth is kind of, she kind of likes Boaz. And here's this guy. I don't know that she's even met this guy. Not that you have to meet your husband before the wedding night, because back in this day and age, you didn't necessarily do that. And she's going to be taken care of one way or the other. See? Ruth has been loyal to God. Ruth has been loyal to God by serving Naomi and been loyal to Naomi. God has been loyal to Ruth all through this already. Actually, you do know that God is loyal whether we are or not. Did you know that? God's loyalty is not based on our loyalty. The Bible says, though we are unfaithful, yet he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God is good to us all the time anyway. Whether we're serving him, whether we're not serving him, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Today, sunshine falls on the just and the unjust. It's amazing what a couple of days of sunshine does to my attitude. It really is. Sunshine, say, he takes care of us, he blesses us, not based on what we do, but when we're being faithful and loyal, that opens the door for God to even do more. And God's been taking care of Ruth, he's been taking care of Naomi. And now Boaz says, I kind of like to take care of Ruth and Naomi. I like to do that. However, Joe's in the way. What are we going to do with Joe? Because Joe's an honorable man too. He wants to buy back the field. He's going to help out too. Well, it's all how you ask the question. Have you ever noticed that? It's all how you ask the question. Remember that next time somebody wants you to take a survey. It's all how you ask the question. Joe says, yeah, I'll buy back the land. No problem. My responsibility, my privilege, I'll do that. And Boaz says, now you remember that we have this law in Israel that if somebody dies and doesn't have any offspring, that a brother, a close redeemer, a close relative has to take the widow and have children by her, and the firstborn male becomes the heir to the guy who's dead, so that his name will remain on the property, and the property, because their property was inherited from God through the generations. You remember that, right, Joe? And Joe says, I thought I was buying a field. Say, I can't do that because they don't give the reason. It will jeopardize my inheritance. So evidently Joe is either married and has daughters, Because if there is no sons and dad dies, there was provision made in the law for daughters to get the land. Otherwise, the firstborn son gets the land. And Joe says, I'm going to jeopardize my inheritance. I'm going to lose my inheritance, possibly. Ruth has a son. He's going to get his property of Mahlon's. He's going to get my property being the firstborn son. And so, I can't do that. There's a chance I'd lose my inheritance. I can't do that. It's all how he asked the question. I am sure Boaz knew this before he asked the question. Yeah, because Boaz kind of likes Ruth. And Boaz wants to step up and be the responsible person here. Good man. Good man. And so after Joe says, nope, I can't do that, Boaz says, no problem. I'll take care of it. And you 10 guys have heard this, right? We got witnesses. We got witnesses, just in case a handshake or a sandal removal in their case. We do things on a handshake now. They did things, they take their sandal off and give it to the other person. So evidently they owned lots of sandals. And Boaz has witnesses, he set it all up, this is the way it is. But notice, it's not just for his own good. He's not just trying to get the land, he's not just trying to get a trophy wife. He's not just trying to get... See, here's how he's doing it. This boy was a decent guy. I have acquired wife, Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers. Motive. Sometimes I don't know my own motives. Sometimes I don't really know why I'm really doing what I'm doing. I'd like to think I'm always doing it for the honorable reason, but, God always knows our motives. Sometimes we got to stop and check our own motives. That's good. See, because we have this tendency to lie to ourselves. Well, I know you don't have this tendency to lie to yourself. I have this tendency to lie to myself. See, I like to think more highly of myself than I deserve sometimes. I like to think my motives are always great and wonderful. But sometimes not. Sometimes I'm just looking out for number one. God knows our heart. He can see what's inside there. And if you'll be honest with God, God will show you what's in there. Boaz, good motives. Not only do I want to do this for whatever reasons I'm going to get out of this, I'm going to get more land. I'm going to get a wife. I'm benefiting out of this deal. But I'm also doing it to raise up a descendant for Mahlon so that his name won't die out in Israel. That family, that clan will remain. And God blesses motives. God blesses motives. God looks at our heart. Because sometimes we're trying to do the right thing and it don't happen. But we're trying to. Sometimes we're trying to do the right thing and it just looks wrong. But we're trying to do the right thing. Sometimes it looks right, but our motives are wrong. But motives are important to God, not just the thing. It's not just getting Naomi and Ruth taken care of. That wasn't the whole purpose. You know, a lot of our physical things, you know, money, possessions, toys, these are big concerns to us. But do you realize if God wanted to, he could just take, everybody that's here today, by the time we're out of service at coffee hour, he could have all of our physical needs taken care of like that. He could. In a little bit, we're going to do some prayer requests here. Hopefully, here's some good things he's doing, some things he needs to do. Yeah, we're going to pray about it. See.
He could take care of all of it instantly. Physical things are no problem to God. He's not bound by physical law. Well, why don't he do that? Make me happy. Because God's concerned about eternal things first, physical things later. Eternal things first. Let's get some eternal things taken care of first. Because we're going to be on this planet a really short time. But we're going to be in eternity for a very, very long time. Forever and ever. As if forever is not long enough. Forever and ever. And so God's concerned first about spiritual things, eternal things. Secondly, physical things. Boaz has his heart right with God. Ruth has had her heart right with God through this. Naomi did her heart right with God through all of this. All that she'd been through. And now God can step in and say, okay, watch this. We got our hearts right. We got people right. The people are back right with God. Now we can take care of the physical things. I can do that instantly. And he did it instantly here. I mean, Ruth woke up this very morning, still poor. And I don't know how quick the wedding was, but I'm presuming it wasn't too far off. And I'm presuming Boaz started taking care of things immediately. And so she went to bed rich. Woke up this morning without a husband. And a Moabite living in Israel, probably not a whole bunch of chance of getting a husband. At least one of the good ones. You know, you can get a bad one. They're dime a dozen. Get them anywhere. Get a good one. And she goes to bed, engaged to, in our culture, engaged to a really good guy. When God gets around changing the physical things, he can do that quickly, instantly. And we'll focus a little more on the spiritual things. I think God does some of the physical things a lot quicker. That's what I think. That's my theory. Just a theory. Because he's concerned about our heart condition. Ruth's commitment to God, serving Naomi. See, our commitment to God, serving one another, hopefully serving Mayflower Church. And then God can put some things in place, take care of, take care of, take care of. And then when he gets around to changing things, he can change things in a hurry. If we'll just remain faithful, God will be faithful to us. I mean, he's going to be as faithful to you as he can anyway. He's going to take care of you. He's going to try to feed you. He's going to try to bless you as much as you'll let him. But when we get reconnected, so to speak, committed, then God can really do some stuff. He can really do some stuff. And that's what we're going to look at next week, the blessings. The blessings of Ruth's faithfulness goes for generations to come, and actually, technically, all the way through eternity. Come to think of it, I was going to stop it at David. Why stop at David? My word. Say. So, another point for my sermon next week. God is good. Joys and concerns.